wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are
recording.
Recording. Good. Okay. So laws of nature is balanced. Okay. And here from the other side, nature is balanced and laws of nature are balanced. And here, the Islam, laws of Islam. We are required to balance ourselves using the by following the laws of Islam. By following the laws of Islam. By following the laws of Islam. How? We have the scale. We have the what?
Scale.
Scale. So sit down.
No. You're going to take over writing in a minute.
Okay.
And here is body and soul. Your job is to must balance. Yeah. Must balance. Yeah. Must balance. Must balance. And here it is already balanced. Already balanced. Between too much, too little. Too much and too little. It's in between. It's balanced. Already balanced by Allah. Already balanced by Allah. You got this part right?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking. So now we started learning how to balance ourselves, is to balance the body and the soul. We feed the body good food, right?
Spiritual.
Yeah. Then we need to feed the soul good food. We exercise the body and make sure the body is healthy. So we need to exercise the
soul
and make sure the soul is healthy. We give immunizations to the body to make sure the body doesn't pick new diseases. And we should do the same thing for the soul.
Yeah.
Okay. If you take very good care of your body, neglect your soul, it will be wrong. Why? Which one is more precious,
soul.
Body or soul?
Soul. The soul controls the body.
Okay.
Are they both like equally important?
They are, no. The soul is more important. I'll give you an example. If you're getting a gift, an Eid gift, okay, there are two parts of the Eid gift. There is the gift and there is the box. There is the gift and there is the what?
Box.
The body is the what?
The box.
The box. And the gift and the soul is what?
It's a box more.
The gift.
How about the gift is, how about if there's no box and there's just a gift?
Why?
There's no body.
Just a second.
Then the box
wanna,
looks like
just hold on a second. I want to follow. Why did you ask this question? Just curious. What is ringing in your?
Because when you said that the body is the box, but how about?
But I didn't say that. I say let us say that you're getting a gift.
I thought you said.
And the box will be similar to the body, and the gift will be similar to the soul. Why is that? Why did I say the box is the body, the gift is the soul? It's because the
gift is
the covering.
Exactly. The box is what you see from outside.
A layer.
Covers. And what is being covered is the soul. I can tell you, you can find a very ugly soul inside a very good-looking person. Okay? It's like the
mafia people.
It's like the what? It's like the it is like if you have a good person, but he's not good looking. He looks, you know, not very good looking.
Well, kind of with personality, like, he looks good, he but he's or, mean. So I'm isn't lost. It like?
Is it better? Is it better, or you have a someone else who's very, very cute, but has very mean, ugly soul?
My sister.
My sister too.
No, 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 no.
You
no,
know
no.
what I was gonna say?
No.
Sorry.
We balance our body and soul by balancing them, by balancing them. Okay. So if you need, if I ask you one of the body, the parts, body or the soul needs more attention than the other. Which one deserves more attention than the other?
The soul.
Why?
Because the soul is more
important. But you told us about like if your soul dies, you become like a heartless person, like murderers and like people who try to like kill everybody. Like they don't have a soul because they didn't feed it spiritual vitamins.
You see? So let me tell you the difference first between fair and equality. Is equality always fair?
No.
Okay. What is fair in the case, since the body and the soul, they are not equal, and the soul is more important than the body, then which one deserves more care?
Soul.
So if I give them both equal care, then it's what? It's already not fair.
Okay.
Even though they are equal, but it's not fair.
Yeah.
Because not every equal is fair. Fairness is something unequal. So in the case of the body and the soul, we give the soul the more attention. But the cultures sometimes, certain cultures, make us always driven by our bodies, by the needs of our body. I need a house, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need to bring money, I need. You keep going, taking very good care of your body, but your soul is not being fed. With any spiritual food. With any spiritual
food.
So we started talking about last time about the spiritual motivations. What are the three spiritual motivations?
Allah, the Quran, and
Love Allah.
Fear of Allah.
Fear of His punishment.
And then read the Quran.
And then desires to go to Jannah. Fear of His punishment and desire to go to Jannah. Desire for His rewards. Got it? These are motivators. If I ask you, okay, can you donate clothes, and you know you don't believe in Allah, and you don't believe that you're going to get any reward from these clothes. Many people are not going to donate the best clothes. They are going to donate just the leftover. Why? Because they say, we're just giving it away, we're not getting anything back. But if I tell you that, you're getting Jannah, then I'm triggering what? Your love, desire to go to?
Jannah.
It's triggered. Boop. Now it is active in your brain, and love of Allah. Okay? And then we talked about the spiritual viruses, which is the shaitan. We finished talking about the shaitan. That the shaitan will give a speech at the Day of Judgment. He's going to say, what I was able to do is to invite you. Is to what?
Invite you.
To evil. And you accepted my invitation. So don't blame me. Blame yourself. So shaitan invites me. Shaitan invites you. Hey, talk in the class. Hey, think about something else. Hey, skip the homework. Could the shaitan physically force you to skip the homework?
No.
Could he physically? No. How?
Because you know how some jinns
possess. Shaitan can only invite you, cannot force you. Allah did not give the shaitan the ability to force you to do anything. Shaitan can only put evil thoughts, shaitan thoughts in your hair, into your brain, and invite you.
You were talking about this in the
assembly. Yeah, you got this part right? You understand? So he said, it's your fault, not my fault. Okay, now, so this one, when you read the Quran, it reminds you of that. So here you go. You're getting these doses of medications, spiritual medications in the Quran. They are scattered. They are not like focused in one place. You read one surah, you get 3-4 vitamins. The love of Allah. How is Allah seeking our love? Remember, He is our creator. He is our maker. He is our Lord. And He is seeking our love. Okay?
I don't even get this, how that works. Don't you love your creator?
I'm confused now.
Many people don't. Like a bad guy, like Hitler, for example. Hitler, for example. Huh? What about Hitler?
He was not Muslim.
Yeah, okay.
Sure, but no one liked him. He hated everyone.
But did he like his creator? He didn't even believe in his creator to start with. Okay? And some people, I've met people who are angry at Allah. People, I've met people that are angry at Allah. You know why they were angry?
I don't know what it is.
You know why they are angry at Allah? Because they say, Ya Allah, you did not give us what we deserve.
But then
they don't believe though. So if they are poor, they keep saying, damn it! Why are you making me poor? Damn. Why every time I try to start a business, you ruin it? Why? Why? I deserve to have the money.
And then when they
why?
Get the money,
you're not treating me well. Why? You're insulting me. Why? You don't know that I deserve money more than all those idiots who have millions of dollars. You know?
And then when they actually get the money and stuff, they're like, yeah, I deserve this already. It's not
yes.
a big deal.
He did not do me any favor. It's my talent and I'm so smart. I earned the money on my own. Okay? So there are people who are angry at Allah for example, the children of Israel. They knew that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is truly a prophet. But they are angry. They refuse to accept him as a prophet. You know why? They said they wanted to punish Allah. So they said, Ya Allah. Prophethood supposed to be in the children of Israel. You brought the prophet from the Arab. This prophet supposed to be from us. You brought the prophet from the Arabs. Then we're not going to believe in him. We're not going to believe in him because you brought him from the Arab. You're supposed to bring him from us. To punish Allah, you know, to punish Allah, they said, we're not believing in your prophet.
It doesn't punish Allah. It just punishes
you.
That's
well,
the
they have this.
It's a one-way ticket to hell.
Exactly.
They have this understanding that they are chosen people. Many of them have this understanding that they are superior, chosen people, and they have higher status in the eyes of God. So they like get to do things that others can't do. But bottom line, just let's focus here. Bottom line is that is there people who don't love Allah? Yes.
Yes.
There are people who don't even think about Allah. Okay? So all these are spiritual diseases. Spiritual what?
Diseases.
So now you want to treat those spiritual diseases. How? The Quran treats them. Quran treats them by giving examples, by telling stories.
There's this girl in my school. Her parents, so she's Muslim, but one, she has a dog, two, her parents don't know how to pray. Whenever her grandma comes, they try and copy her, but they still can't.
Okay. Now, number one, having a dog is not a problem. It's not haram.
I thought it was only a guard dog or like...
Yeah, other than that is makruh, not haram.
What's makruh?
Makruh means not desired, not recommended.
So it's haram to have a dog?
No.
It's not recommended.
It's not recommended.
Why?
If you have a dog, you can't let him near the area where you pray.
My uncle
has a dog and my other uncle has a dog.
Oh, again.
You need... It's okay to have a dog for hunting, for guarding, and what else? Hunting and guarding and what?
If you're blind.
Yeah. Lead, guiding. But other than that, it's not recommended. Now, back into the subject. So, people hate Allah. So, what is the name of Allah that show us, the name of Allah that shows us that Allah seeks our love? Think of a name. Which name of Allah that will prove to us? You know these tangents? You don't have to write tangents. Like the dogs, you don't have to write.
Could it be
a
Nur? Because like it's like the light which
is
yes.
No. Ar-Rahman?
Ar-Rahim?
No. No. Okay, I'll tell you. Al-Wadud.
Al-Wadud.
What is it called?
Al-Wadud.
Which surah, the name Al-Wadud was mentioned?
Al-Wadud
surah? Surah Al-Buruj.
Surah
Al-Buruj.
Remember the Ood?
In Surah Al-Buruj. إن بطش ربك لشديد إنه هو يبدئ ويعيد وهو الغفور
ودود
وهو الغفور الودود. ودود means what? Means you have, let's say you have a very poor slave. Very poor slave, worthless. Like in the eyes of the society, they say this guy's worthless. And you seek his love by giving him gifts, by talking nicely to him, by guiding him. Okay? Alright? Then you are called Wadud.
Is that good?
You're called Wadud, yes. Because you're seeking the love of someone who's lower than you. Everybody wants the love of... You really want the love of the people who are above you. Why? Because you want to benefit from them. But down there... Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you can drink the water.
Yeah.
After you finish this for you, okay?
Okay. But now, if you get the love of the people who are under you, you're wadud. Allah gets our Allah seeks our love. How?
Because he can do anything to us. He created us and stuff, and he just wants our love. Even though he could already magically get our love using his powers. So like,
no, he seeks our love using the way life is being run. Using laws of nature. So he uses the laws of nature to seek our love.
Yeah.
Okay. How? Give me an example.
Like giving us, creating things like that.
Giving you
useful.
Gifts. Giving us gifts.
Yeah, resources.
Like if I give you, Yanis, if I give you $100, wouldn't you love me? Yeah, probably.
Obviously.
If
yeah.
I make them 500, would you love me?
Yes.
I'll live with you.
If I made them 10,000.
I would invest in them and then pay you back.
Anyway, if I buy you a gift, which is I'm your dad, buying you a gift,
yeah.
Which is like let's say
soccer ball, iPhone 6.
S what is that boy?
iPhone 5S.
Box? What's that box thing?
Xbox.
Yay.
Xbox. Do you like it?
Yes.
You love him?
Yeah.
You love your dad if he's... What if he brings you the next generation of Xbox?
I don't really care. Oh,
that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. So Allah seeks our love. Allah uses the laws of nature. Allah uses the laws of nature to seek our love by sending us
gifts.
You got that part?
Yeah.
So, and then we get the gift and we forget. So Allah in the Quran reminds us. Didn't I give you eyes? Didn't I give you ears? Didn't I give you tongue? Didn't I give you the sun for you? The moon for you? The earth, flat surface for you? The sky is protective ceiling for you? Didn't I create animals to ride on? Didn't I create milk and food to get drink from them? And you can eat their flesh? And you can use their leather, and they can use their skin. There are so, for example, in Surah An-Nahl, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala kept reminding us with so many. I hope there's an English Quran here. Yeah, so many blessings to seek our love. So seek our love by giving us a gift. Number one, and number two, do what? Remind us. Remind us about the gift.
Take your binders home, read this.
Okay, read. Read, read in English here. Listen, see how Allah is reminding us with His blessings, seeking our love. Read.
And Allah sends down rain.
First of all, this is ayah number?
65.
And surah number?
16. 16.
Which is surah number? Nahl, bees.
Okay.
Okay.
And Allah sends down rain from the skies and gives therewith life to the earth after its death. Verily, and this is a sign for those who listen.
Continue, continue.
And verily in cattle too will ye find an instructive sign from what is within their bodies.
Between excretions and blood.
That's the blood, that's the milk. It's coming from between the blood and the flesh of the cows and for the camels. See?
Milk.
And you keep reading like this for like about 10 minutes. Mentions, reminders of blessings. So it's called what? Remind us, reminders of blessings. Allah seeks our love by giving us gifts. And?
Yeah, this is what dude.
And? Remind us about it in the Quran. So when you read the Quran, there are people who are so bad. They say, Allah tells them, I have given you arms. So what's the big deal? Everybody has arms. I have given eyes. So what's the big deal? Everybody has eyes. What if Allah takes away your arms? You say, everybody has arms? Okay. I'm not giving you arms.
Some people don't have stuff. Like some people were born with only one ear and stuff.
Some people that go to army, they step on a mine or something, their legs explode. You won't be able to walk. Like there's a big difference between not even being able to walk, walking and running.
What I'm trying to say here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could take these favors away from you. If you're so proud you're rich, Allah can make you poor. If you're so proud you're beautiful, Allah can make you ugly.
How about if you're so proud?
If you're so proud that you're...
Could I read in Quran?
This one, you should be proud of, and Allah would love you to be proud of. If you become proud of it. So this is the way the spiritual food in the Quran goes to feed us against... Huh? To feed us to love Allah.
Okay.
How about to... What part of the Quran is being used by Allah to inspire us by... So we learned about how does He inspire us to love Him from the Quran. Now, from the Quran, what inspires us from the Quran to desire Jannah? How does Allah inspire us to desire Jannah?
He tells us in one surah that if you go to Jannah, there'll be a river under where you are, and
right.
He describes
a river of underwear
under your legs,
your
feet, under your feet.
And
a river of underwear. Exactly.
So Allah seeks,
and you can have whatever you want.
Allah inspires us to love Jannah in the ayat that describes Jannah in the Quran. So it is the ayat that describes what. Jannah in the Quran. So he describes Jannah to make you
want to do good deeds.
To make you to develop us, to make you to inspire you to love Jannah. He describes Jannah to inspire you to love Jannah.
Yeah.
For example, let's say
Wolverine.
Okay, let's say 13.
Okay.
Look, for example, he's describing Jannah in Surah Al-Insan, which is Surah number?
76.
Ayah number? 13. Starting from Ayah number 13.
Okay. Reclining in the garden on raised couches.
Reclining in the garden on raised couches.
They will see there neither the sun's excessive heat nor excessive cold.
No hot summers, no
perfect
cold winters.
Weather.
Perfect weather. Huh?
And the shades of the garden will come low over them.
The shades of the garden, the leaves will come low on them to shield them if they want to be shielded, if they like the shadow, it comes down, and then they can also pick trees, pick fruits from it.
There will hang low, easy to reach.
Huh. Like, sometimes you wish the apple comes to you, and sometimes you wish to pick up the apple. So the leaf comes down all to you to pick up the apple, and then the leaf
goes. Do we have to wash
up.
It there? Do we have to wash it there? No.
Okay.
No. You can do anything you want.
Jannah is 100% pure. Is what?
100% pure. I love that.
Jannah cannot by its nature. This is the nature of Jannah. It cannot contain anything not pure. That's the nature. Okay?
It cannot contain.
That's why when Adam and Eve ate from the earthly tree in Jannah, and they started having want to go to the bathroom. Okay, Allah said, Jannah will not be able to accommodate you. Jannah will not accommodate you in when you want to do number one or number two. So you have to go down to earth. Earth can. The nature of earth can allow you to do number one and number two. The Jannah will not allow you.
So when you eat something in Jannah, you won't have to use the bathroom?
You don't have to use the bathroom at all.
But if it comes, be urged?
It comes out as a very, very beautiful smell.
Comes out as very
you rose. You sweat perfume. That's how the...
I hate the smell of perfume. It's so strong.
There's nothing called I hate in Jannah. That is taken out of the vocabulary. So Jannah, you need to understand, Jannah cannot allow anything which is not pure to exist in it. Cannot.
So she can't have a TV in Jannah.
Just, I will give you an example.
You can't have a TV in Jannah?
You can.
Wait, do you all have temptations? That's why we have temptations here.
You will see and enjoy halal things only.
Yeah, well,
and you will hate haram things. Actually, you will never think about them. You will actually forget them. Because
you're in Jannah.
You're in Jannah. Halal things are so many. You're happy.
You want, you know,
and you will not need to do haram things.
Isn't there like that river in Jannah that is made of halal, like that wine?
Yeah, halal wine, which is wine that does not harm you. It gives you just the joy of the wine.
Grape juice.
Will anyway, there be like unlimited food and stuff? Like,
no, unlimited. Food is unlimited. Read.
Okay.
Awesome.
And amongst them,
I know. He's gonna be like
ice cream all day. Do we get fat though?
No.
Ice cream every day.
24/7.
The word negative. The word negative does not exist in Jannah.
I love it.
The word.
That's cold. Thank God.
Go ahead, read.
What age was
it? Okay, good question. What age? If you die as a child, you go to Jannah as a child.
But I thought it's only till 12 years old.
Well, whatever the definition of a child is. And then if you die as an adult, you go to Jannah at the age of 33.
How about if you die when you're like
33?
This is because that's the best.
I thought it was 23.
This is the best age. Youth, the best age for the youth. Let me tell you about a joke about that, by the way.
How about if you go to Jannah when you're like a kid? Like,
you become part of the boys and girls who wander around serving the people of Jannah.
And having fun.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not fair, though.
And he's going to recite their news in just a second.
So
but
you have
after,
to go serving
people. Wait, so
after
if
I tell you,
a kid, you have to serve.
After I tell you this joke, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a very old lady came to him and she said, Prophet Muhammad said yes.
Oh yeah, he said, remember this joke.
Do old ladies like me go to Jannah? He said, of course not.
What?
He said, of course not.
Who said that?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she was about to start crying. She got sad, she was about to start crying. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, didn't you read in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah said, إِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَاهُنَّ إِنْشَاءً فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبْكَارًا عُرُبًا أَتْرَابًا. Allah is going to send you back to the age of your youth, 33 years. Didn't you read that? So there will be absolutely no old people in Jannah. There will be all in this perfect age. And they don't grow up. They don't age.
I have to look good when I'm 36.
No aging.
Basically Peter Pan.
Looking good or not looking good, that changes. In the day of judgment, okay, once you wash yourself from the water of the Al-Kawthar lake or Al-Kawthar spring, you will look gorgeous, adorable. It doesn't matter what you looked before, but you will be looking adorable.
Do we have temptations when we go to Jannah?
No.
You don't need temptations.
For good things.
Yeah, good things, yes. But you don't need temptations because you don't need evil temptations because there is a lot of, there is everything you need. You won't be thinking about evil things and you will not enjoy them, by the way. Okay, so... go ahead and read the continue reading.
And amongst them will be...
Just a second.
I'm asking a question.
Just a second.
Wait, do you have to read Qur'an in Jannah?
There's nothing called have to in Jannah.
And amongst them will be passed around vessels of silver.
Listen. Just listen.
And goblets...
You don't have to.
And goblets of crystal. Crystal clear made of silver. They will determine the measure thereof according to their wishes. and they will be given the drink there of a cup mixed with zenjebin, a fountain there called selsebin, and round about them will serve youths a perpetual freshness. If thou seest them, thou wouldst think them scattered pearls. And when
these
thou,
are the kids of Jannah.
And when thou children. Lookest, it is there thou wilt see a bliss and a realm magnificent. Upon them will be green garments of fine silk and heavy brocade. And they will be adorned with bracelets of silver. And their Lord will give them and will give to them to drink a pure drink. Verily, this is a reward for you, and your endeavor is accepted and recognized.
You see? You see how much joy? When you read that, Allah intended to inspire you. Aren't you feel inspired? Like you feel that you want to go to Jannah?
Yeah.
Because once you develop that desire, once you develop that desire, you're already past this age. Once you develop that desire inside you, then the next step you say, how can I get Jannah? Start thinking, okay, do good deed. Okay, fasting. Okay, prayer. Okay, read Quran. Okay, or teach. Okay. Okay. Huh? No, here.
Yeah, I already do all
that. Yeah, well, if Allah accepts from you, then inshallah you'll be from the people of Jannah. But remember, the sky is the limit. You can always climb high as you can. Okay, now, how about the hellfire?
No, don't you
We're ready on a good
How does Allah, Allah, write down, Allah inspires you with the fear of hellfire? By describing it in the Quran.
I know. He says that the only thing you can eat, the only thing there to eat,
is thorn bushes and unscorching water.
Yes, exactly.
And when you go to the gates of Jannah, there's an angel there saying that you decided to follow Shaytan, so you deserve this. And then they go complaining to Shaytan saying that you made me do this, you made all of us go to hell. And he's going to say, I just tempted you. You're the one who actually wanted to do it.
Yes, exactly. You're the one, you're the bad guy. You wanted to do it. You just accepted my invitation.
I want to go to Jannah. I want to just, like...
And who doesn't, my dear? But the good ones are the ones who can do it. Who can make it.
If they make
it. Yeah, it's not enough to say that you want to.
All Muslims go to Jannah
like,
eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually, yeah.
If they do, they'll go to you might go to hellfire depending on your.
Who knows which surah?
Years.
Who knows which surah is Inna Shajarat al-Zaqoom? Inna Shajarat al-Zaqoom, the tree of Zaqoom. Ta'am al-Athim, the food for criminals in hellfire. Kalmuhl yajri fil butun.
It's like those plants, like thorns, right? Thorny plants.
I do not know.
And boiling water.
That one.
Yeah.
I drink boiling water sometimes.
So there is ayah, because of the time, I'm not going to be able to look for it, but there's an ayah. Inna shajarat al-zaqoom, the tree of zaqoom. Ta'am al-athim, the food for the criminals in Jannah. No. Also, Surah al-Ghashiyah has description of hellfire, high fire. And Jannah too.
Yeah, I talked about the thorn bushes and the scorching.
كالمهل يغلي في البطون. It's like your body, your stomach is like a container, and the water that you drink from hellfire there, it's boiling inside that container. And then Allah speaks about the how awful it is. Every reason to make you miserable exists in Jannah. So think randomly. What would make you miserable? Mosquitoes, you
bored.
Will get ever living mosquitoes.
Snakes,
you
bees,
get snakes.
Bees,
scorpions.
Bees.
Oh scorpions God. In Jannah. I'm oh, sorry.
Shots.
Scorbians in hellfire.
Like hello. Me too. Shots shots? Dude, I cry every time I go to the nurse, like when I get a shot. And then, yo, okay, so no, I'll tell you, sir, when I was 8 years old, you know the old people that were taking the
please,
shots?
Please,
they don't hold me, the
we
old
really,
people.
We really don't have the time.
I like the students.
Okay, let me give you one.
We really
shot.
Say hi.
Do you know that the size of the scorpions in Jannah as big as the elephants?
What?
And they chew on the person and spit. And then you go through the pain. Remember, when you're being, for example, killed in Jannah, okay?
You can't be killed in Jannah.
I'm sorry, in hellfire. When you're killed, if somebody killed like billion people, Allah will give him a kill for every kill.
I've heard that.
Unless he killed a good person, then he gets more than one. For each kill, he gets killed. You know, going through the pain of being killed. Okay? And then wakes up again and going through the pain again.
Same thing with the burning. Like, it'll reappear the skin and like it'll burn again.
And this keeps going, like cycles. Okay?
Do people in the hell ever get freed from there, or do you see the
freedom? Muslims.
Depends on
Muslims get freed, right?
Believers. In general. Believers go to the first level of hellfire only to pay for their punishment. And then
the first level?
Layer one.
It's still bad.
It's not as bad as like one of the least punishment in hellfire, the least is the punishment of Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet. Okay? Allah puts him in the first layer of hell on the top, and he wears a shoe from hell. The shoes are from hell. Because the shoes are from hell, his brain is boiling because of this. And that's the least punishment.
Your brain is boiling?
Boiling, yes. And then he's crying and keeps boiling.
Any
time the brain is burned, Allah replace him a new one right away.
Oh my God.
It's automatic, like this.
You feel like a pain?
Wait, does he ever go to Jannah?
And in the grave, for example, when you're asked a question fail, you answer the question.
The
angel smack you with the hammer all the way to the middle of the ground.
Is it possible?
And then pop up. The pain that you would be feeling would be exactly like the pain of me getting you and hammering you, boom, to go sink all the way to the bottom of the middle of the earth, and then bounce back.
It takes 70 years to go down.
It takes 70 years with all kinds of pain. This is exactly, you will be going through it, you will feel it. Your body is not there. Your soul feels the pain directly because the pain is applied on the soul. In the grave, Allah punishes the soul. The body is not punished. The body is just thrown.
Do some people get all the answers correct?
Yeah.
Many people.
And then Allah will open a door for them to see their place in Jannah.
Is it possible for you to not endure any hellfire?
Yes, it's possible.
What's the difference between the first level and the eighth level of Jannah?
There are people, there are actually levels. There are people who cross the bridge, speed of light.
The Surat Bridge.
So if you're really good, like from those perfect guys, like the A-plus guys, you in a second. Mm-hmm. And
what's
then,
the difference between the first level and the eighth level of Jannah?
What about the B-plus guys?
Jannah?
Yeah.
Jannah has more than eight levels. Jannah has thousands of levels.
What's the difference between the first, the highest and the lowest? What do you get in the lowest and what do you get in the lowest?
Okay, the difference is that the amount of time you are allowed to look at Allah's face. The people on the high level of Jannah, they get to see Allah's face day and night.
That's lucky. I want to do that right now.
Listen to this. If the people in hellfire, they get a chance to look at the face of Allah, they will enjoy inside hell. Even though they are inside hell, being burned and like tortured like crazy. If they get to look at Allah's face, they not only are going to forget all their pain, but they feel a lot of joy. Even though they are in hellfire. That's why Allah said in Surah Al-Mutaffifun, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ, meaning that they are deprived from looking to Allah's face. Okay. Because once they see it, Allah's face is extremely beautiful. The most beautiful thing you can ever imagine. And you get the best joy you can ever imagine. It comes from looking into His face. So the people in the very low level, they get to see it every once in a while, like or once every blue moon. And the time increases as you go up. And that's the difference, the real difference. That one makes a lot of difference. And that's the real difference.
So once you see it, for like, if you're in the first level,
camera snapshot.
So first level of Hellfire, some people will only stay there for like one day. You'll feel like a lot of like thousands of years. How would if you see it? How long does it last? How long did the joy last?
When they see a lot.
Yeah.
Afterwards, it the joy stays, but you get to enjoy it continuously. You guys are dismissed now.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Walaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.